Today's program is brought to you by Junior's. You have not really lived until you've had cheesecake at Junior's. For more information, visit juniorscheesecake.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. Before I introduce today's guests, I have a bit of news to share. My weekly cleaning advice column, Ask a Clean Person, is moving to Esquire.com. Yay! I'm very excited. As excited as I am about the move to Esquire, which I really am very, very thrilled about, I have to admit that it's bittersweet to leave my beloved Deadspin readers and listeners, and I hope that many of you will stick with me. The podcast will continue. There's been some concern about that, but fret not. I will not leave you. I love doing this far too much. One thing that won't change is my biweekly column on Racked National, Out Damn Spot, which tackles cleaning conundrums from a fashion and beauty perspective. Racked is also the home of my annual Clean Person Holiday Gift Guide, which is set to run this week. We're recording this on a Wednesday. I believe the gift guide is running on a Friday, so be on the lookout for that. And I am so excited to have my wonderful editors from Racked National, Meredith Haggerty and Julia Rubin, back in the studio with me today. We are going to be talking all about holiday messes, and then we're going to talk about that gift guide, and we're going to talk about maybe some great cleaning-related gifts we've gotten and some not so great cleaning related gifts we've gotten. That's a dicey proposition. I'm gonna totally level. Let me introduce you a little bit more to Mare and Julia. Meredith is Rack's reports editor, and her favorite holiday food are those Russell Stover boxed candies. We had a rousing discussion before we went on air about how much we both like sickly sweet candies and desserts. Julia is Rack's features editor. And her favorite holiday food are Luckies, which I told her was the correct answer. And she described them as basically being hash browns, which is also correct.
World's most perfect food.
I mean, they're absolutely delicious. Yeah. Plus, you get your choice of sides. You get sour cream or applesauce.
Love it.
Is there a movement these days towards like artisanal dipping sauces for latkes? Like, are we going into plum sauce territory?
Great question. I don't know about the sauces, but like restaurants love bringing the like fancy latke.
Yes.
And not just like a Russ and Daughters cafe, but like you'll go places and they'll just, you know, and basically it's just like, again, just like a fancy hash brown.
It's a fancy hash brown. Yeah. I've noticed in the past couple of years that there's been a trend towards sort of the alternate root vegetable latke,
yes.
the fancy carrot, purple carrot latke, and Meredith is making a bad face. Yeah. She's like, potato. That's my Shannon Bador impression. Shannon Bador is one of the Real Housewives of Orange County. I love her, And in fact, you know, she's a big holiday person. So that was a thematic reference that I just made.
Nice.
All right. So for the first segment, though, before we get into the holiday gift guide and talk all about retail therapy, which is like Racked's thing,
true,
right? We're all about being inquisitive at Racked.
Stuff you can buy.
Things.
It's our reason to enter.
Yeah. We wanted to devote the first segment to holiday messes, because then you're going to get all those gifts that are going to help you clean up the messes you made. There you go.
It's my nickname at Christmas.
Messy Meredith.
Just holiday mess. Yeah.
The holidays are very messy. They're very messy. So we're recording just after Thanksgiving. And so I got one Thanksgiving question that actually came in amazingly enough. I was very impressed with this guy. He managed to make a Thanksgiving mess before Thanksgiving. Like 2 days before Thanksgiving, I get this email. It's like, well, when you hear it, you'll know what it is. So I was like, good for you. You're really ahead of the ball. Most people are going to wait till next week to email me. So we'll talk about that. I actually have I made a holiday mess this year, and I was pissed, you guys.
Tell us what it was.
Here's what it was. So to understand why I was pissed, you have to first know this about me. I'm a very good cook. And I mean, sorry, not to like toot my own home, but I am. I'm a good cook. And I cook dinner at home every night. So, you know, I have experience and I'm a good cook and I enjoy doing it. I have a few things in life that I am not great at, and I accept it and either avoid it or just do my best. One of those things is making gravy. And gravy is a tricky thing. A lot of people are not great at, so I don't feel bad admitting that. But this year, I finally made a really good gravy. Really, really, really good. Like, not even like good by Jolie standards. Like, actually just legit good gravy. And proceeded to upend the bowl as soon as I set it down on my Thanksgiving buffet.
Oh.
Half a bowl of gravy all over everything.
Do you just make people like eat it off the carpet?
I was
like, it's good.
Stop it up.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
I was like, what did I just, I can't even believe it. So half the bowl was saved. Half the bowl was in the bowl that I was serving in. So I put that aside. I grabbed another bowl and like with my hand was like scooping the gravy into this other bowl because there was so much of it that like it wasn't even paper towels. I would have had to use like a 6-pack of Bounty for that. It was so much.
You just needed like a loaf of bread.
Then I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this bowl, this half bowl of upended gravy, and I was like, do I save it and serve it, or do I? And I was like, no, I gotta pitch it.
Aww. Very honest of you.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I could have, we had a small Thanksgiving, so we didn't even need that much, so that was sort of partly why I was like, I'll just, and then I cleaned it up and it was all fine. But anyway, I was less mad about the mess and more mad that I upended the first good gravy I've ever turned out in my life. You know?
I would have served it with like little fuzzy things in it and been like, that's gravy. What, you've never had gravy before?
Sorry, it's lumpy.
Homemade. Yeah. Real way.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that was not as bad as two other messes that made their way to me. One was on Thanksgiving night. So I was already prone and watching Batman by the time this came in. I got a panic text from my friend Bex, who's a wonderful friend of mine and who I've cleaned up her messes. In fact, some of her messes are in my book. like I've like cared for her after surgery, kind of cleaning up her messes type thing. So anyway, so she's a very close friend. And I get a text message from her. Jolie, emergency, I hope you see this. Someone just upended an entire bottle of red wine all over the table and the chairs.
Disaster.
So what do we do? And so I happened to get the message literally right when it came in and wrote back. And I was like, all right, did it just happen? Grab the table salt. So here is red wine tip number one. When you have a spill, if it's a big spill, a small spill, doesn't matter. If you catch it right when it's fresh, grab for the table salt. If you can grab actually just the whole like jug of Morton salt, even better because it's going to pour faster than your tiny little shaker will. But the tiny little shaker is fine too. Pour a huge amount of salt on the stain. And what that is going to do, salt acts as a desiccant. Which is a fancy word for absorbing.
Like,
you know,
damp red.
I was just going to say, Julia knows all about desiccants because she is a huge fan of damp red. The last time she was here, that was what she and I talked about, was musty smells and damp homes. So the salt is going to absorb a lot of that red wine. And then what you'll do is you'll brush it away. If it's a small amount, you can vacuum it up or, you know, use a sweeper brush. If it's a larger amount, and then you'll be able to stain treat the red wine. You can use, you know, a stain pretreatment product like Resolve, which is particularly good on tannin stain. Resolve used to be Spray and Wash. I don't know if people know that Spray and Wash changed its name to Resolve. It was bought. Anyway, interesting things about sort of corporate naming history.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And people know Spray and Wash, but people think of Resolve as the carpet cleaner, which it is, but there's also, they also renamed, which I actually think was a bad move on their part.
Yeah. Spray and Wash was so self-explanatory.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew what to do.
Yeah,
Resolve,
exactly.
I'm like, is this done now? Is it resolved?
Yeah. Like, and I was just looking this up, and I think they've changed the branding ever so slightly again, so that it's now called Resolve Spray and Wash, because I think that they realized that was a problem. So
people
anyway.
Were probably just leaving it.
Yeah, so good old spray and wash, Resolve spray and wash is excellent for tannin stains, which red wine, coffee, tea are all tannin stains. That's a very good one. But even, you know, dish soap, even soaking it in a little laundry detergent, getting it right into the wash if you can, you know, if you're not literally in the middle of your meal and can, like, strip the tablecloth off. So that's the way to handle it. And, in fact, that's what they did, and the tablecloth is saved. But, you know, her bubby's tablecloth is saved, which makes me so happy. Her bubby and I also have the same birthday, so I have, like, affection for the bubby. Speaking of Julia, you and I should mention our Adopt a Bubby program idea. That we think that there should be a program that you can adopt a bubby so that at Hanukkah time we can have homemade latkes.
Because as I told Jolie, like, technically I have bubbies, but they don't really cook, so I don't get any of the culinary benefits.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I would love, yeah, just like great Jewish grandma food.
Yeah.
So if anyone's interested,
if there are any bubbies out there who are looking for
I mean, we are very in the neighborhood cute of the Rent-A-Mom that you can rent. And it's that's in Bushwick, right?
Or I did not know that.
Oh, there's a lady who's renting herself out as a mom.
Oh, yes.
To hipsters. She, if she has a mom of her own, hopefully that mom could be a bubby for rent.
Hit us up. Let us know.
All right, we're going to work on this, guys. I'm really serious about this idea. So Bex's Bubby's tablecloth was saved, and I felt very good. And she said that one of her aunts literally went online as all of this was happening and ordered my book, which was also just like, was so lovely. thank you all, Schwartz family. I really appreciate the support, and I was glad to be able to help out. I also got the next day an email from an old friend who I met. God, I don't even want to say how long ago I met this woman. It was on a trip that I took after I graduated from college into Turkey, when you could still travel to Turkey, if that tells you anything. Yes. So Sharon sends me an email. She says, "Hi, Jolie. The red wine and cranberry sauce stains came out of the lace tablecloths perfectly with the OxyClean. What would I do without your book? Hope your Thanksgiving was bountiful and filled with love. Hugs, Sharon." Aww. So that made me happy too, because she did exactly what I would have said for more set-in stains, which is to take the tablecloth off and just give it a long soak overnight in, you know, OxyClean or any one of the oxygenated bleaches, something like borax. If it's a white tablecloth, you can use powdered Cascade, the dishwashing detergent, which is very, very good on getting stains out of white and light colored things. Can have a little bleaching effect on darker items, so careful of that, but very good. So the long soak is the other sort of big thing. The last thing to mention when it comes to red wine stain, there are lots of ways to get red wine stains out, and we should probably devote an entire show just to that.
Easily. It should be a drinking show, but, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Like a Kathy Lee and Hoda style.
Okay, Mira, you come back for that one. And yeah, okay, we'll drink throughout.
See you soon.
So the other thing to mention is that there is a product called Wine Away that is very good.
Great name. Speaking of
great
names.
Yeah, great
names. Names tell you what they do.
Exactly. Yep. And, you know, a lot of times with those kinds of products, there's a tendency to look at them and go, does it really work, or is this just a marketing scheme? And that's a good thing to think, and it's a good way to question your products. But I will tell you, in the case of Wine Away, it is a very good product. It's got the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. I have had friends who have used it, and when we get to the next segment and talk a little bit more about gift guides, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Wine Away. Before we do that, though, I have that question from Dan, who emailed me before Thanksgiving with his Thanksgiving disaster.
What'd you do, Dan?
Well, Meredith, here, why don't you read Dan's question?
Oh, I'll be
and,
Dan.
Yeah, and you can tell us what Dan did. Poor Dan.
Perfect. Okay. Thanksgiving topic. This is my Dan voice.
Yeah.
Made a ton of pumpkin and sweet potato pie for Thanksgiving. Used an emulsion blender, which is dope. Downside.
Men really, they really write the best.
I'm so excited for him.
Go Congratulations, on. Dan. Congratulations on
which
your blender.
Is dope. They love the gadgets. What can I say?
Downside. My kitchen wall now looks like a Pollock painting. This is a very reference heavy.
Yeah.
I tried to clean as I went. Alas, I failed. And the wall seems to be permanently stained with flecks of orange and brown. I hate the Cleveland Browns and refuse to live with this new color scheme. It's a normal white painted wall. Nothing special. Advice?
I have advice. I also want to say, poor Dan. I also want to say, like, that man, But now I'm going to like cry on air. This is why I'm going to miss my freaking Deadspin readers, right? They're putting Cleveland Brown references into their Thanksgiving mess.
He loves his blender. He hates the Browns. Like, he feels good about Pollock paintings, maybe. Yeah. Or he knows them.
He knows them. They're like a literary and funny.
I feel like I know so much about Dan now.
Yeah. I should find out if
Dan is dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should find out if Dan is single. Maybe we can set him up with someone, ladies. okay. So here is actually my advice for Dan, which is pretty simple. What Dan needs is a rag. I think an old dishcloth, not one that's really heavy, like not a heavy duty terry cloth one, maybe one of those like flour sack type ones, a thinner dishcloth. An old washcloth would also be good for this. He just needs a rag that's sort of not too big and not too thick. And what I want Dan to do is I want Dan to soak it in hot water. So I don't want him to burn his hands. So, you know, wear a glove if you need to, or, you know, as hot as you can stand. And then just put a little bit of dish soap or hand soap. You should probably have both of those in your kitchen, I'm imagining. If you Dan, I mean, you got a hand blender, man. You're pretty advanced. So I'm going to assume you have dish soap and hand soap. So just a little bit of soap. And the combination of the soap and the hot water is going to allow you to just scrub all those little spots off. It may be a little bit tedious, but the hot water really is going to help to reconstitute that pumpkin, which basically the problem is it's dried on. So what happens when something dries on? It loses its moisture. If you add moisture back to it, it will become more pliable because it'll be back in its initial state. Like if you spray pumpkin and you clean up immediately, it's super easy because it's still wet and you just wipe it away. So that's what I think you should do. If the pumpkin and sweet potato is really, really being stubborn, which it may be, you can up your game a little bit and dilute a small amount of ammonia. It sounds like Dan probably will not need a lot because this isn't a huge mess. It's just a little bit flingy. So it's not that there's a lot of matter. It's just that it's spread. So I would say maybe, 2 tablespoons of ammonia diluted in 1/4 to 2 of water. Warm water is probably going to be great. Wear gloves for that. Work in a well-ventilated area because ammonia is stinky. And once in my warning always that I have to give with ammonia is never mix it with any kind of bleach product. It will cause a chemical reaction that will kill you. Which maybe at the holidays is the thing you want. But no,
there
please don't do that.
There is so much science. Every time
so
I
much science.
Literally every time I read you, I listen to you, we talk, I'm just like science, like Danbrid, science. Like,
it's all science.
Ammonia science.
Indeed. Ammonia plus bleach equals mustard gas. Ooh. So yeah, he can do that and then scrub the walls, and the ammonia is really a great little cleaner, especially in the kitchen. If he wants something that's heavy duty but not as toxic as ammonia, Simple Green is excellent. I have to say I'm a recent convert to, not that I was a denier, but I'd heard people talk about Simple Green for a long time and really sing its praises, and I had just never tried it, and I bought some recently, and man, I gotta say, this stuff works like a charm.
Nice.
I cleaned out the interior of a microwave recently with it, and it was like, wow, this is good.
That's serious.
Yeah, and actually, I cleaned my oven with it. And it worked really, really well. So anyway, so Simple Green is a good, more eco-friendly choice if Dan would prefer that to the ammonia. The last thing to mention is if there really is staining that's not coming off, then it's time for our pal Dan to go buy himself a magic eraser.
I love the magic eraser.
The magic eraser.
I try to use it on everything.
I was
Shoes.
Recently...
I was
recently at the Procter & Gamble headquarters, the research and development facility in Cincinnati, actually for something I'm doing for RACT with Meredith, that you will see in January. And I was there to learn a whole lot about laundry, even more than I already know about laundry. And I did learn a lot. It was very interesting. But that P&G is also the parent company of Magic Eraser. And at one point, I tried to sneak off to go into the, like, magic eraser wing. My escort was like, totally not today. Like, we'll bring you back. It's okay. But yeah, I'm really obsessed with them. They're great.
What are they? You know, I love
them. What's the science there?
Yeah.
Tell me more science.
They're melamine foam.
That does not help.
Sure.
Me.
Yeah. So melamine. So you probably have some melamine plates.
Yeah.
Or little trays or, you know, so on and so forth in your home. Melamine can also be broken down into a chemical compound where it's turned into essentially foam bricks. And that's what the magic eraser is. And to use it, you wet it and you use it to scrub whatever has been stained. The caveat that we always have to give with magic erasers is you should test them in an inconspicuous place if possible, because they, you can think of them as being like a fine sandpaper.
Oh, so it's like an abrasion thing?
It's an abrasion thing. Yeah.
I had no idea.
And so, I love making that comparison because I think it describes exactly why you would want to test it first to make sure that it doesn't cause damage in the same way that a fine sandpaper, which could be very safe on some surfaces, could cause visible scratching on other surfaces. So you always want to test it. So that's what a magic eraser is.
That's amazing.
But also, they're magic.
That's what's really important. Yeah. I would say, Dan, if none of that works, too, he could just get paint and paint those flecks his team's favorite colors. Or, you know, maybe a mural.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Meredith.
Turning lemons into lemonade in a real way.
All right. So listen, on that note, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. Meredith, Julie, and I will be back in just a minute to talk about this year's Clean Person Gift Guide.
Hey.
Let's play a game. If I say three words, let's say Brooklyn, classic, food. You tell me what comes to mind. I'll give you a second. If the answer wasn't juniors, you lose the game. You can't possibly be a Brooklyn foodie, or a foodie at all for that matter, and not know about juniors. Founded by Harry Rosen in 1950, Junior's Landmark Restaurant is known as the home of New York's best cheesecake. Real talk, you have not fully lived unless you've had Junior's cheesecake. The original location in Brooklyn on Flatbush Avenue is still thriving, or you can check them out at recent Landmark additions in New York's Grand Central Terminal or in the heart of the Theater District on Broadway and Times Square. Check out their first restaurant outside of New York at the Fox Tower Hotel at Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. It's not just cheesecakes. They've got steak, seafood, sandwiches, salad, everything you would possibly need to complete an authentic New York dining experience. Don't be embarrassed next time somebody asks you if you've been to Junior's. Visit juniorscheesecake.com for more information.
Hi, this is Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. And you know, I remember my very first show, December 2009. Ooh, it was a cold winter. And my first guest was William Grimes from the New York Times. Now, the one specific I had to tell him was wear a hat, gloves, and a warm coat, because our studio had no heat. We had no heat in the winter. We had no air conditioning in the summertime. It was rough going, but we were a startup, and we had a good show, regardless of the fact that we could see our breath. So today, we still have hurdles to climb over, and the only way we can get there is with your help. So if you would please consider being a member and press that little beating heart button in the upper right-hand corner to donate. It's going to help us have heat and electricity and air conditioning and really good sound with really great guests. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and my guests today are Racks, Meredith Haggerty, and Julia Rubin. We've been talking about holiday messes. Holidays are very, very messy, which I'm always glad for, because it keeps me in work into the new year, you know. The holidays are also the season of giving. So before we move on to our discussion of this year's Clean Person Gift Guide and why you should give the gift of clean to your loved ones, which I believe you should, I want to introduce Erin Fairbanks, the Executive Director here at Heritage Radio Network. Hi, Erin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me bust into this party.
Sure thing.
Like, so many good vibes.
It really is quite a party in here, isn't it?
So I'm coming to you from the HRN corporate offices, which is really just a warehouse around the corner with no windows. So don't make too glamorous of a picture. One, to say thanks to Jolie, of course, for giving us at the radio network the gift of clean. And we don't even have to save it for the holidays. Yeah, you know, it's been really special to me personally to have you kind of join our podcast lineup. And I wanted to say a big thanks. And I feel like you have brought so much to the table for us. And in addition to like teaching us how to fold sheets in the office.
Yeah, I do. I've done fitted sheet folding demos in the office for them.
Everyone on our staff has probably at this point texted Jolie for personal cleaning advice. So it feels like a real boon. I know you guys are jumping into your gift giving guide, and I do have to make an additional plug because one of the things that helps us keep Jolie on the airwaves is the support of listeners like you guys out there listening. And we would love to hear from you, as always, about the podcast, what you're liking, what you're loving even more than that. But also, I do want to say it's really critical that we hear from you in a financial capacity, whether that's $5, $50, $500. Would love to know that you support Jolie and her work through a little bit of a cash donation this holiday season. And when you visit the Radio Network's website, www.heritageradionetwork.org, and click on that beating heart, you can actually scroll from the drop-down menu to let us know that Jolie sent you and maybe send her a personal message. And I know she would love to hear from you. So just, popping by, saying that, saying thanks to Jolie, saying thanks to you for listening, and looking forward to another great season of Clean.
Thanks, Erin. And I want to reiterate what Erin said. Please think about giving during the season of giving, even something small. If you have ever asked me a question on Twitter and I've answered it for you, maybe you could think about leaving a little tip for that free service I provided in the form of a little donation to HRN. I have absolutely loved doing this show. I couldn't do it if it weren't for HRN, and we can't all do what we do if you guys don't help to support us. So we really are so appreciative of your donations and of your positive feedback and for telling lots of people about this show. So on that note, let's turn to other kinds of gifts that you could give or receive. And we will talk all about this year's Clean Person Holiday Gift Guide. I'm going to try not to spoil too much. So it will run on Racked on Friday, December
4th.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I was like, gosh, what day is it?
Friday, the end of the weekday that comes later. Yes, after this day.
Yes, that's when.
Yes. So be on the lookout for that. We'll talk about a couple of the things that Meredith and I really liked from this year's list. Meredith is my editor for my column Out Damn Spot, and so she was in charge of this year's gift guide. But Julia is the reason that Out Damn Spot exists on Racked. And she was my editor last year. So she was responsible for last year's gift guide. And what I did to prepare for the show is I went back and I looked at last year's gift guide and all the previous years, because this is actually, I realized, my fifth year of doing the Clean Person Gift Guide. Wow. I can't even believe it.
So many gifts.
So many gifts.
So much.
So
clean.
I looked through one because I wanted to see what I was recommending back in 2011 when I started this trend on the hairpin. Also, ready for this little stroll down memory lane that we're going to do? So in 2011, the gift guide ran on the hairpin. In 2012, I was finishing up my book. My book manuscript was due on January 7th, 2013, a day that I will never forget. Because I finished my book on time, which I later found out no other author does.
Very rare.
Yeah.
Very, very
rare. I didn't know that. I just thought I was given a due date and I had to meet it, right?
You're great
at
deadlines.
It was like being in boarding school again.
I'm sure your editor was like, what is this?
Yeah. And well, actually, no, she probably didn't, because she went to the same boarding school I went to. So she's probably like, yeah, that's the same marker. Just get the assignments and write on time. So in 2012, I did the gift guide on my own advent calendar style on Pinterest. I think also I was like annoyed with the hairpin at the time.
I don't feel bad saying that now. It's been so much time. It's like, all fine. No one cares. But I think that that was part of the reason. There's some truth for you, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a ghost right now. So.
Oh, it is a ghost. I know. I wasn't going to bring it up. It's like too sad for me. And then in 2013, I did the gift guide for Jezebel.
Oh.
Yeah, that's when I was still writing Ask a Clean Person on Jezebel and Deadspin. I was switching off every week between the two sites. Mm-hmm. And the gift guide felt like more of an appropriate fit for Jezebel than for Deadspin. Last year, I moved it to Racked with Julia's blessing, which has been really, frankly, the perfect place for it. Because Racked is really about retail and products and all that kind of fun. So shopping.
We're proud to be the first place that you've done it twice.
Yes. And that's exactly it. Yeah. So this year's will also be on Racked. I hope this will continue a grand tradition for us. Yeah. Last year, I did, however, do a special edition. I did Clean Person Gift Guide Rejects.
Oh, yes. That was great.
And I put that on Deadspin because that seemed like a right thing. And I only remember one reject from it, and I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was a stain bar, like a bar of soap, but that's for stain treating, made by the laundress. And it was called Santa's Stain Bar.
Sure.
And I put it on the list because when I saw it, the first thing I thought of were Santa's skid marks.
Oh.
It was so gross. And I was like, if my mind went there, like at least one other person's mind has to go there. So I'm going to put this on my guy's list of rejects and make that joke. And the guys liked it. You know, play to your audience, you know. So anyway, so I went back through all of those years worth of gift guides to see if I could find any trends. And indeed, there are some trends. The first of which is that apparently every single year I have recommended that people buy padded satin hangers.
That's not what I expected.
So fancy. So fancy.
And they're on this year's too. I really do try to mix up the products that I'm recommending. And I guess what's happened is that I've mixed up the brands that I've recommended, but not the actual type of product. So I have to work on this a little next year to sort of, which I have an idea for how I'm going to handle that next year. But I really laughed when I saw that I'm like, you know, the no wire hangers type gal. And so every year
the joke is like directed at someone else in the gift bag, but I guess it should be you. That's the gift for Jolie. She says no wire hangers.
Except I already have the padded hangers. In fact, I have the padded hangers that I recommended this year. They were a gift. I got them 2 years ago. I got them when my book came out. My mom bought them for me when my book came out. So they are a good gift, and I love them. I use them to hang my fancy kimonos.
Nice.
That's appropriate. See, I feel like I have the New York problem where I have a super small closet. So I have those like skinny plastic, like they're like flat hangers, right? I don't know.
Which
what
are good.
Called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I use my padded hangers. I have a sort of a decorative hook. One of those Anthropology dealies.
Oh, yeah.
I have it in my bedroom, you know, in sort of a corner wall. And that's where my kimonos hang. Mm-hmm. It's all very artistic, you guys. And so the padded hangers are on that hook. So it's not...
Oh, I like
You know, they're not taking up... Yeah, they're not... They're, so it's decorative hangers on a decorative hook with decorative kimonos. It's just
perfect.
It's just like decor everywhere, you guys, in my home.
My fancy kimonos, because I also have fancy kimonos, because I'm a woman, hang on a thumbtack that I shoved into my brick wall, and that falls down a lot.
I'm going to come over
so
with...
Same.
We got to upgrade you.
I'm going to come over with my drill, and we're going to fix that. We'll go to Anthropology, and we'll buy a fancy hook for you, and we're going to fix that.
Thank you.
So anyway, so that was one of the gifts that I apparently recommend. So I promise next year I will recommend that in hangers. Watch, I won't
next
even
year
be able
just
to...
just wire hangers. Why not?
Just save them all year from your dry cleaner. Give them to a friend. I will say this did make me laugh. You know, it's good to go back and realize you can still make yourself laugh. The first year that I recommended the pattern hangers, the padded hangers, I also recommend that the gift givers pair them with a print of Joan Crawford.
That's a good gift.
Yes.
It's like, I don't know, for like your glamorous friend. It was kind of funny. So that was kind of funny. Other things that probably will not be super surprising that get recommended every single year. Candles. Mm-hmm. Candles are dicey, though, when it comes to giving. You know, because, like, what one person likes for a scent Yeah. Another person might not like for a cent. And
well, to plug a Racked feature that's coming up before the holidays, we're doing a big story on like all these fancy candle brands that sell like $100, $200 candles.
It's crazy.
And I mean, it's like such a status thing, right? So it's like, it doesn't even matter what the scent is. If you're like, this is Diptyque, then like your friend's going to be like, okay, I don't even care what it smells like. Like, I know that label. So I think it works.
You're like, I could trade this for a fancy bottle of wine if I needed to. So it doesn't matter.
A couple. Bucks, yeah. Three bottles.
Yeah. Or if you're me and you buy real cheap wine, 10 bottles
even better.
Those Diptyque candles are fabulous though. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just not gonna spend $65 on a candle though. I'm not, even though I recommended a $95 candle on my gift guide this year. But I did that on purpose this year because it was like a fresh laundry scent.
How could you not?
How could I not? And to me, it's like kind of hilarious to recommend a $95 candle.
Yeah.
And I think everybody knows.
A candle that smells like laundry.
Yeah. And I think everybody knows to take it all with a grain of salt. And, you know, Racked, we all have a very good sense of humor. So a lot of the stuff that we write, you know, even when it's about $100 candles, it's done with a sense of humor. So I don't think anyone's going to feel pressured into buying a $100 candle. But if you want to, that's fine. Please go and buy the candle if it makes you happy. All right. Some other things that show up every year. I have recommended the same $4 lint shaver. Like, I think every gift guide.
Now it's everyone has letters.
Listen, I really believe in this lint shaver. And in fact, Meredith, we just ran my like complete guide to sweater care on Rack, which did really well. I saw it everywhere.
Oh yeah. Invaluable to me personally.
And it got a huge amount of response on Twitter, which I was like, oh, good. From men and women, which was also awesome.
People love sweater weather.
Yeah. And we, you know, here in New York, we have not had a whole lot of cold weather just yet. So it still feels kind of like a novelty to be able to pull out the sweaters. And in a month, we will not feel that way. But the sweater shaver was a thing that I mentioned in that post that I just think is invaluable. Those sweater stones that are kind of like the pumice-y type things. I've tried one. I didn't care for it because I found that it depilled sweaters quite well, it made a mess in the process. You know how I feel about messes. So the sweater shaver is the one that I always like because it has sort of a little chamber that collects the lint that you can then dump out. It's battery operated.
Yeah. So when I was in high school, I went through a prep phase, as many did, I think, in the early 2000s in suburbia in the Midwest. Tons of sweaters, tons of J. Crew, and I became obsessed. And I got like one of those, like I guess it was battery operated, probably sweater shavers. But I like would be too aggressive and would get holes in them. How do you make sure that does not happen?
Yeah, I mean that's a problem with. I mean, honestly, it's a problem with virtually any one of these kinds of tools you're going to use. The sweater stone is going to potentially cause that problem. Using any one of the sweater razors that are really popular, you know, those defuzzit. Mm-hmm. D-fuzz-it.
Another great name.
D-fuzz-it. And the shavers, too. Really, the idea is to keep it moving and use a light touch and use patience, which is the thing that I know. It's a really annoying instruction to have to give. But, you know, unfortunately, from time to time, if it catches, it can snag. Pardon me. If that happens, what you should do is you should take that sweater right down to your local tailor, dry cleaner / tailor, and just have them stitch the hole up. And that should not be terribly hard. If you are a person who keeps everything, you probably even have that sort of excess thread that comes in a little like, you know, drug pouch with
immediately throw that away. I'm like, this is garbage. And then I'm like, shit.
It mostly is garbage. But the thing is that a fabric care expert can fix a pull or a little hole pretty easily, so it shouldn't be a total goner. Mm-hmm. But that is a risk certainly you run with those lint shavers. I still love them though, because here's why. Like a pilly sweater
is
like as unwearable as a sweater with holes.
Very true.
It's equally ugly,
very upsetting.
Yeah, it should just not happen. Okay, so I'm gonna run through a few other. Oh, this was a fun one. in that very first hairpin guide, I recommended something called Fredo the Feather Duster, which
another great name. That's the name of this show.
The fact that the feather duster had a name and that the name was Fredo was so great to me. It was like a it was a feather duster on like crane legs.
Oh,
I don't know. It just made me laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And actually, my editor at the time, who's a very whimsical person, and extraordinarily quirky in all the best ways, was so into this thing that I bought it for her. and when she got the package, she came home. Someone had like left it in front of her door, and she came home. She'd been out at a bar drinking, and she came home, and I get this text message at like 2 a.m, and it's like, I'm a little drunk, but I'm crying. This is the most touching gift. It was really cute. And so then wonderful. And so then, like, of course I'm crying because I was so touched by her drunk text message. And so anyway, it was all very cute. So that was a fun one to mention. Always lots of those travel bags. I think those are great gifts. Yes. I've gotten a lot of the shoe bags and so on. Fancy shoe care kits. Sneaker cleaning kits, shoe shine kits, those are great for people who are like big into their shoes.
People love their shoes.
Electronics cleaner kits. I mean, you don't need those things, right? Isopropyl alcohol will clean your electronics just in a microfiber cloth. It's going to clean it just fine. Mm-hmm. But for people who are getting, you know, a new laptop, a new tablet, a new phone, those are nice little add-on gifts, like to stick in a stocking, or if you know someone's getting that and you want to just get them something small, those are like great little add-ons. So that's kind of how I like to think about the cleaning gifts, is, you know, either sort of the high-end things, like, you know, a good clothes steamer would be awesome. Mm. I think like everybody at Racked would probably love one of those.
I'm obsessed with clothes steamers, and The Verge, which is one of Vox's sites, and they do tech and culture, and they had a big gift guide and were soliciting suggestions. And so I did the My Little Steamer, which, just to bring it further, from HSN by Joy of Joy fame. Joy, of course, being the David O. Russell, Jennifer Lawrence upcoming.
I was so obsessed with that story that Tiffany Yonetta wrote about HSN. I still am thinking about it. And I sent her sent her like a screamy email. So okay, listen, this is a two Housewives reference in one show episode here. I sent her a screamy email being like, oh my god, you met Melissa Gorga, oh my god, I'm freaking out. And she thought it was the funniest thing. And the funniest part about it was she was like, oh my god, I just got almost the same email from Carly Wiesel, who's another one of the Racked writers who we're all friends with. But she was like, but hers was about Juliana Rancic. I was like, well, I love that we're
all of the idols.
I so love that we're women. All like so vapid.
HSN is fascinating, though. That is like a brilliant article. Business. And the Tiffany did such a great job.
It was a fascinating article, and I really would recommend you all read it. I really can't stop thinking about it. The business model of HSN is so impressive, and the amount of research that they do and data mining. It was just fascinating.
It's just so much hard work.
Seemed also to me that there was such an undercurrent of empowering women with that company that I really loved.
And also, like, you know, the whole thing is like targeting this consumer that is so forgotten, this like older woman consumer. And it was just like this is great. This is great. Like, let's cater to her for once.
Yeah. I wanted those jeans.
Oh my god, yeah, she's amazing. The jean queen, Diane Gilman.
Yeah, I totally wanted the jeans.
anyway, love so a yeah, steamer, get love Joy a steamer. Steamer.
Get Joy Steamer.
I love it.
I mentioned that I was going to bring Wine Away back around and tell you guys this. So here's a great thing about Wine Away. Wine Away offers all different sizes of their product, and you can get travel size ones, which are great. They're perfect stocking stuffer for a wine lover. A great little thing to bring as an add-on hostess gift if you're bringing a bottle of red wine to like a Hanukkah meal. Bring a little bottle of Wine Away to go along with it.
With your Manischewitz.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, don't spill the Manischewitz. Okay.
Just a funny thing to hand to your friend when they're complaining, too.
Wine Away. lots of great stuff. Those are some gift suggestions. You should definitely check out this year's gift guide for a very specific as I lose my words, specific gift recommendations. Meredith wants to tell you about the one that she's going to buy, I think, for your dad, you said?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to buy the... Oh, God, now I'm forgetting the name.
I know what the name is. It's O Cedar is the brand.
Yes.
Yeah.
The kind of discount Roomba.
It is a discount Roomba.
Hopefully my dad won't listen to this.
That's okay. If
surprise, Dad. It's not your whole gift, probably. Well, if you, you know, let's see how the next month goes. But
yeah, behave yourself. Santa Claus is coming to town, Dad.
It's a less expensive Roomba that I just want to try.
Yeah.
And hopefully not get too near our dog, as per Jolie's last column.
Oh, right. My last column on Deadspin, you guys, was about a Roomba disaster. I mean, I don't know. Ugh, woof. Literally, woof. It involved a Roomba accidentally vacuuming up dog poop, and then vacuuming the whole house with the dog poop. It was a good note to go out on. This is also a good note for us to go out on, because this episode is over.
Oh man! Thanks for having us.
You're so welcome. Big thank you to my guests today, Meredith Haggerty and Julia Rubin of RAC National. To my engineer, Liz Smith, and to our sponsor, Juniors. Today's music was provided by RecTech. If you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing on Acast or iTunes, leaving a rating, and telling your pals all about my weird little cleaning show that you love so very much. We would, of course, also very much appreciate any donations that you care to send in the way of HRN. Thank you so much in advance for that. And, of course, thank you to you, my listeners. I'm Jolie Kerr, and this has been Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.